بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله الحمد لله الذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله ولو كره المشركون إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستهديه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا. We seek refuge with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the evil within ourselves, from the effects of our bad actions, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us to the deen al-haq, which we say is the true way, which Allah has made to prevail over all other ideologies and religions and isms. Even though people may hate it, and there will always be people against us, and inshallah we ask Allah to guide us to the path where we become aware and knowledgeable of what is needed of us, rather than just having a temporary emotional state which many a time can be, even though sometimes it's apparent to be good, but sometimes can actually be harmful to the ummah and harmful to ourselves. So today inshallah we're going to talk briefly about the steps, and the scholars have put into a category, just a very briefly, very small, seven steps that shaitan takes in order to get to us. Now just so we understand, firstly, we need to see how the whole issue started. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala beautifully explains in the Quran, in Surah Sad, where he says, إِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ إِنِّي خَالِقٌ بَشْرًا مِنْ طِينٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, he said to the angels, not asking them a question, but he's telling them that to the angels he's creating human beings out of mud. And the beauty of that is, if you see that we, our beings, our materialistic beings, come from mud, come from the earth, come from the lowest thing that you can think of, which is the earth. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put in us a godly spirit. It's not God himself. He put in a spirit which he created for us. So it's a balance from the lowest of the low to the highest of the high. And we need to have everything in balance. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala proposed that to the angels. He said that he's going to create basharun min tin. He's going to create beings from mud. فَإِذَا سَوَيْتُهُ وَنَفَخْتُ فِيهِ مِنْ رُوحِي. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, so when I perfected this being, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala perfected it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the capability of saying kun. He could say be and it would be. He could have created us in one stage. But the stages Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did is five stages. He created us, muntin, muntin al-lazib. That's the creation of Adam. But we're talking about now, he perfected the creation of us. He perfected the perfection of the being that we see ourselves in today. وَنَفَخْتُ فِيهِ مِنْ رُوحِي. Initially it was just a piece of clay. And with one breath of spirit Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put into us, it became a being. فَقَعُوا لَهُ سَاجِدِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked the angels to bow or prostrate to Adam. Not prostration of worship, the angels aren't worshipping Adam, but there is a prostration of sort of gratitude or of acceptance that he is the one who is going to be Khalifa. And if we understand our purpose of our existence in this world is to be a Khalifa in Ard. إِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ إِنِّي جَعَلُ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to angels in another ayah in Surah Al-Baqarah that he's going to put a khalifa in the earth, a sustainer, someone who's going to sustain the world in the way he wants us to sustain it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَإِذَا سَوَيْتُهُ وَنَفَخْتُ فِيهِ مِنْ رُوحِي فَقَعُوا لَهُ سَاجِدِينَ فَسَجَدَ الْمَلَائِكَةُ كُلُّهُمْ أَجْمَعُونَ إِلَّا إِبْلِيسَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, all of the angels prostrated to Adam apart from Iblis. Now we know from the Sunnah, from the Sunnah that Iblis is created from, he is one of the jinn. Not like the Christian tradition tells us, he's a fallen angel. No, he's not a fallen angel. He was a very, he worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He knows that Allah, who he is, he knows his position. But he created him from a smokeless fire. So he had the qualities that he had the free will to choose. But he decided to be one of the mu'mineen at the time. But illa Iblis istakbar wa kana min al-kafirin. Iblis was arrogant and he was of the disbelievers. Now Iblis refused to bow to Adam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قَالَ يَا Iblis. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he doesn't have to ask, but it's just to give us an example so we can understand the whole issue behind what's the whole issue of evil that we see people putting themselves towards today, the fight between good and evil. قَالَ يَا Iblis, مَا مَنَعَكَ أَن تَجْدُدَ لِمَا خَلَقْتُ بِيَدَيْ. What prevented you from worshipping what I created from my hand? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala isn't telling him to worship any idol or anything. He's telling him to just accept the fact that I've put him on a higher level than you. He's put Adam at a higher level than Iblis himself. So he says, مَا مَنَعَكَ أَن تَجُدْ لَا خَلَقْتُ مَنْ إِذَيْهِ أَسْتَكْبَرْتْ. Were you arrogant? أَمْ كُنْتَ مَنَ الْعَلِينَ. Or are you of a high being yourself? So he's asking him, why arrogance? That's the thing which you see. Arrogance is one of the worst things. Because when you're arrogant, and as we heard in last week's khutbah, arrogance stops you from doing good. Because sometimes somebody is telling you to do something good. Someone will say, yeah, actually, you shouldn't do that. And even his attitude might be wrong, but Islamically we're told, in the tradition, we're told just to accept it. Say, if someone gives you good advice, just take it. Even if he's bad himself, just accept it. Because arrogance will stop. Some people say, oh, I don't want to be like those Muslims. I see those Muslims doing it. I don't want to be part of them. He's telling me to do good, but I'm going to do my own way. So sometimes the arrogance, that's the first thing which you see. One of the first people who was disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was arrogant. So arrogance is something we need to be very aware of. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قَالِ إِبْلِيسُ مَا مَنَعَكَ أَن تَجْدُدْ لِمَا خَلَقْتُ بِيَدَيْ أَسْتَكْبَرْتْ أَمْ كُنْتُ مِنَ الْعَالِينَ قَالَ أَنَا خَيْرٌ مِنْهُ. I am better. He said, I am better than him. خَلَقْتَنِي مِنْ نَارٍ وَخَلَقْتَهُ مِنْ طِينٍ. He said, you created me from fire and you've created him from mud. And fire is obviously more powerful and more great than mud. So he said, I am better than him. And that's another type of arrogance where you think, I'm not going to listen to him because I am better than him. Islamically, I mean, if you even look at the way Sayyidina Jibreel, the angel Gabriel, he taught Muhammad alayhi salam, even though Muhammad alayhi salam is a higher status than Jibreel, but Muhammad alayhi salam accepted for him to teach him, even though he's a higher status, but he accepted because he's the one who's got the knowledge. And we need to accept that sometimes, wherever you find knowledge, wherever you can find some, even if you might be a higher status. And that's like the story of Imam Malik, where he obviously was just a normal person. Imam Malik was a normal person among the people, but he obviously was teaching people. And the Khalifa at the time wanted Imam Malik to come to teach his children. So he said, come and teach my children, I want you to teach my children the religion. So Imam Malik said, knowledge doesn't come to you, you need to search for the knowledge. So he was obviously at the lowest status, but the Khalifa accepted for him to come, and he came himself and he sat on the floor with everyone else. But nowadays obviously you get people who, because they think they have a status, they have a specific type of way they can learn, or they have to have specific circumstances. So back to the story. قَالَ أَنَا خَيْرٌ مِنْهُمْ خَلَقْتَنِي مِنْ نَارٍ وَخَلَقْتَهُ مِنْ طِينٍ قَالَ فَخْرُجْ مِنْهَا فَإِنَّكَ رَجِيمٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala immediately says, so get out of this place, you are accursed. That's why we say أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنْ شَيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. Rajim means the accursed one, the one who has been accursed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because he refused to accept Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's order. وَإِنَّ عَلَيْكَ لَعْنَتِي إِلَى يَوْمِ الدِّينِ. And verily, I will be cursing you until the day of judgment. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's curse is on shaitan, is on Iblis until the day of judgment. But there's one thing we need to remember. Never say, la'natullah ala shaitan. Never swear to the shaitan. Some people say, people just say to me, oh, I want to get that shaitan and beat him up. I want to get my... People say these things and they start swearing at the shaitan. So then Muhammad said to us, don't swear at the shaitan, because if you do, yata'adha, he becomes stronger. Because he's getting to you. He knows that. So we need to not swear at the shaitan, because al-mu'min laysa kal-la'an. Yani a mu'min people doesn't swear. We're not supposed to be the swearing type, the cursing type. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already cursed him, and that's enough for us. So we need to do our best to try and save ourselves from the steps, inshaAllah. So Iblis wanted to try and prove something to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he says, قَالَ رَبَّ فَانْضُرْنِي إِلَى يَوْمِ يُبْعَثُونَ. And just look at this thing. Iblis himself says to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya Rabb. He knows that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the Lord. He knows it. Whereas there's people now who refuse to accept it. Some people just refuse outright to accept the fact that there is a God. Which is obviously a thing which is coming more apparent these days, atheism and people not believing in God. Iblis himself knows that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the Lord of the world. He knows that. But he refused to accept. So Iblis asks, if he could be allowed, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would allow him to be among us until the day of judgment. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَقَالَ فَإِنَّكَ مِنَ الْمُنْظَرِينَ إِلَى يَوْمِ الْوَقْتِ الْمَعْلُومِ. I will allow you to be that until the time comes, which is the day of judgment. So Iblis said, قَالَ فَبِعَزَّتِكَ. He said, I swear by your majesty, by your greatness, by your lordship, لَأُغْوِيَنَّهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ. I will come to them from every single angle. I will do my best in order to get them into my trap. إِلَّا apart from عبادكَ منهم المخلصين, apart from the sincere ones of them, because the sincere abd, the sincere worshipper, cannot be reached. And an example of this, of the sincere worshipper, Umar ibn Khattab. Shaitan, we know the hadith where Sayyidina Muhammad said the shaitan, when he used to see Umar ibn Khattab in the route, he used to take another route. That doesn't mean that Umar ibn Khattab could see him. It doesn't mean that he would beat him up if he saw him, or he would hit him, or he would do anything. But it means that shaitan knows, if Umar ibn Khattab was to fall into a sin, he would do so many good sins in return, that he doesn't want him to fall into a sin. He prefers to leave him like that. Because sometimes, and it's been qadr alina, it's been destined to us to do sins. That's part of our creation. We're destined to do the sins. And Sayyidina Muhammad, kull ibn Adam khattab, every single ibn Adam, every single son of Adam does wrong actions. And the best of the people who do wrong actions are tawwabun, the people who repent to Allah and turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Umar al-Khattab, because sometimes when you do a wrong action, and we all know this, you say, oh my God, I've done this wrong action. So you go to the mosque and you pray, then you fast a couple of days to try and make up for it. Because Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us to follow up a bad action with a good action, and it will wipe it out. So he knew that Umar al-Khattab, if he was to do a wrong action, he would do so many good actions. And he, many times he's done very small little things, which we look today as being very minor. But he used to follow them up with so many good deeds, that shaitan preferred to stay away from him, because he know that his sincerity is so pure. And that's something we need to work on. Our sincerity is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't come to pray on Friday, we don't go to the mosque, we don't pray our five prayers a day so people say we're good, or so that we can just feel good. Of course there's parts of it which are involved in that, but the main thing is we're doing it from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because if you're doing it for your parents, or you're doing it for your people to say you're good, then we've got the idea wrong. Because nothing will be accepted for us unless it's 100% purely for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we need to really remember that we should be sincere people to Allah. And the best way to know that, Umar ibn Khattab again is a very good example. When Uthman ibn Affan, Abu Bakr al-Siddiq was asking, who should I put as the Khalifa after me? Uthman ibn Affan said, I know that Umar ibn Khattab, what he does in secret is better than what he does in front of people. So that's a thing which sometimes in front of people we act good, but behind closed doors we might do things which people we would never dream of doing. So do we not take a second sometimes to think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching us, and He is greater than all of these people? 100 years from now, every single one of us will not be here. There'll be somebody else talking here. All of us will be sitting, different people will be sitting, and it'll be over. So all of these people will just be dust to dust, and then we'll be raised in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we need to think of the sincerity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Iblis said that he was not going to come near the people who are mukhlaseen, the people who have sincerity. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised him, فَالْحَقُّ وَالْحَقُّ أَقُولُ لَأَمْلَأَنَّ جَهَنَّمَ مِنْكَ وَمِمَّنْ تَبَعَكَ مِنْهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says He promises that He was going to fill Jahannam, the hellfire, with him and with anyone who follows him. Now we just need to be very careful of the steps that shaitan takes. The scholars put it down to 7 steps. And you have to understand, the qualities of the shaitan is not the qualities where it's apparently bad. I mean, if you look at the Christian architecture and tradition, they show you that the shaitan is red devil with horns, and he's got his fork, and he's evil and he's ugly looking. That's the perception that they have. But that's not what Islam tells us. Because Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, حُفَّتِ الْنَارِ بِالشَّهَوَاتِ. He said, حُفَّتِ الْجَنَّةِ بِالْمَكَارِحِ. Jannah, which is the paradise, has been surrounded with difficulties, things which are hard. And it's called darajat, which is an upward motion, where we go up. And it's hard to do these things because you're going up. But when you get there, you have a sense of achievement. وَحُفَّتِ النَّارِ بِالشَّهَوَاتِ. And nar, the hellfire, has been surrounded with appetizers, things which are initially pleasing. You think, if only I could do that. Somebody looks at a woman and they fantasize about her. Somebody sees alcohol and they want to join the people. They think they're having fun. But if you look, I mean, even we can just look at the statistics of what's happening these days. It's apparent to us already. I mean, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَا تَقْرَبُوا zina. He just said, إِنَّهُ سَأَ سَبِيلًا. Don't come near zina. Don't approach. He just gave us in two areas. Just don't approach zina. If you look at the statistics of zina, it's the effects of all of the crime in the society these days is caused probably by zina. Because if you look at it, now the statistics in this country tell us that about 40 to 50% of the children are born illegitimately, without parents who are married. Now Prophet Muhammad said in a hadith that if an evil act becomes apparent among the people, and they accept it, it becomes an accepted act. Not where people are frowning upon it and it's still happening, but it becomes an accepted act and everyone is happy with it. He says, فَانْتَظَرْ غَضَبَ اللَّهِ. Wait, just wait and see for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's wrath. Now the wrath of Allah is not necessarily an earthquake or a tornado or something that's going to kill us. The wrath of Allah is in the action itself. So look at the result of the zina. The children become filled with rage. I mean, I was driving the other day, a 6-year-old, 7-year-old boy, not older than 7. And he's swearing the swear words I would never say these swear words. How did they become full of rage like that? It's because their parents are not bothered with them. There's no family values. All of these things are just a natural result. And the sunnah is called sunnah kawniyah. There are laws of the universe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put in the universe, which are natural. It's going to happen. And if we don't take the... I mean, there's a lot of people in this country who are doing good to try and promote, you know, marriage and all of these things. But it's apparent from the action itself. We don't even have to have the ayah. You can tell there's a fitrah. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us where you can see these things are wrong. So we're just going to the 7 steps of shaitan and go through them quite swiftly because they're very quick. And we need to ask each and every one of us, we need to ask ourselves, which stage am I at? Am I at number 1, am I at number 2, number 3, or have I got one of all of them? Now, 100% sure, inshallah, no one in this room is number 1. Shaitan comes to us and he says, ukfur. He will tell us, disbelieve in Allah. That's the first thing. All he says is, a'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem, because even thoughts come on your head, who is Allah, where is Allah, all of these things. People just say, "Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar." He won't come to you on that one again. He'll try it from different angles. So the first one is kuf. Kuf, the first thing he'll say, disbelieve in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He wasn't able to get to you on that one. Alhamdulillah, none of us here have got to that one. The second one, he will say, shirk. Now shirk, there's shirk al-akbar, shirk al-azhar, and it's a very big story, but he will tell you to create a partner with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now the partner isn't necessarily someone you worship. Now people who worship idols, which obviously is apparent from the traditions we see, but shirk can also be something which you put before Allah. So somebody who's not able to give up a cigarette, he balances out, should I give up the cigarette or should I not? What's more important to you? Somebody watching a football match. The adhan is calling and there's a football match to watch. Oh, but it's the World Cup final. What's more important? That's the type of shirk, because you're putting something before Allah. And all of these things which we do, many things, people put money, people wrap around their lives, they say, money, then my family, then me, then my friends, then Allah. So all of these things, we need to say, who is in our priority list? Write a priority. And anyone who gets married, I think it's a very good advice which I took, and a very good advice which the scholars say, when you're getting married with someone, say together, our first aim and main priority is Allah. And the second thing is you. So if I have a wife, I'll say, my first priority is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second priority is you, and then I come last. If you do it in that way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because you put Allah first, you will never mistreat your partner, any business you go into. If you put Allah first, the amr is always back to Allah. The command will always go back to Allah. So the second thing is shirk, and we need to be very careful that we don't fall into these things, because we can always fall into prioritizing things over Allah. The third thing the shaitan will come and do to us, he will make us do kaba'ir. Grave sins, really bad things. Zina, fornication, drinking alcohol, doing drugs, not praying. All of these things are very big deeds. And some people say, oh, I don't do kaba'ir. Kaba'ir can be, Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, من جمع بين صلاتين من غير عبر فقد أتى باب من أباب الكبائر. Whoever combines two prayers without a legitimate reason, if you have a real legitimate reason that you combine two prayers, whoever combined two prayers without a legitimate reason, he has approached a door of kaba'ir, of grave sins and bad sins. Because you're entering in a stage where it will just become a habit. And there are many people now who just pray duhr with asr, maghrib with aisha. And obviously in the summertime in this country, we can pray maghrib and aisha together, because there is no real aisha. And the time is, obviously the aisha is very late, you are permitted to pray maghrib with aisha. But some people just, it's their habit, and some people won't pray all day, then they say, they'll just pray them all in the evening, and their head will be down, up and down like a chicken, up and down like a chicken, and they'll never get the real sense of the prayer. The prayer is made for us not to do bad actions. إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ. Because if you do, you pray your fajr, then you feel good, then you go out, and then you're about to do a bad action. Oh no, I've got to pray duh. Okay, I pray duh. Okay, I'm going to do, oh no, but then there's us, then you, so there's a constant reminder, and that's the reason of the prayer, not for us to be just sahoon, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, where we just do it without real khushu'a, which we should have in our prayer. So we said kaba'ir is the third thing shaitan comes to us for. The fourth sin is sagha'ir. Sagha'ir is the small act, the little, the things which we think of, instead of talking about someone ill, spreading gossip, I mean, looking at a woman in the street. I mean, you say, oh, these are just small things, Allah will forgive me, inshallah. When you add up the small sins that you've done, they can add up. I mean, there was one of the scholars, he said, I sat down and he went through every single year of his life and counted up what he thinks of the sins he's done. And he said, and I found them like big mountains. All of the acts which we think are insignificant, they can be grave when you add them together. So that's why we need to do constant repentance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, constant forgiveness. So if he wasn't able to get you on any of those, so he tried to get you in kufr, he wasn't able to. He tried to get you in kaba'ir, in grave actions, he wasn't able to. He tried to get you in sagha'ir, he wasn't able to. So what he'll do now, he says, okay, you're a mu'min, you're praying, you're doing your things. I'm going to mess with his mind. I'm going to make him concerned with the important things. So you'll hear a hadith saying, removing rubbish off the street is a good deed. So someone will spend all their day removing rubbish off the street. That's a good thing. But that's not what we need to do. Somebody says they're concerned with the small things and they forget the big things. We need to remember there's priorities. There's people dying now. There's people. When someone's dying, you don't think, how should I have my clothes? Of course, Islam is a whole system and we need to take it in its totality. But there are things more important than others. We're stressing too much on the small things and we're leaving the big things. So the shaitan will let people waste their time. And you see when the fitna happens. If you remember when the Denmark pictures were released and all of these things, those pictures are still there. If not, they're there in much, much more now. If you go on the internet, you'll see them all over the place. Where are the demonstrations to take them off? There are no demonstrations now because we're reactionary. What happens to the Muslims is we become very reactionary. We just react and emotional, and it's a temporary emotion that just comes out as soon as the fitna happens. And then you'll see the people making demonstrations and leaflets and going around and spreading and the kuffar and mu'ata'a, which is, we need to obviously express our emotion and feelings and obviously there's a very bad thing they did. But what happens after? Do we do a plan and say, okay, this is an opportunity now. It's in the media, let's try and promote Islam, let's try and show that we are civil people, not going around burning flags and throwing this and, I mean, the Middle East, they like cheese which comes from Denmark. So they boycotted all the cheese from Denmark and all of the dairy products. So their economy was affected. And the Danish people said, I didn't even know what Islam is. And people, I know a group of Muslims who went to Denmark. They did a lecture there. And a lot of people became Muslim because there was an opportunity. So they see it as an opportunity, not as a reason just to say, I'm going to express my emotions. And you see a lot of the people, they wait for these things so they can smash shops and do things. They've already got that anger in them. They just want a reason to do it. So when there's a big demonstration, yeah, I've got a chance to go and hit some police officers and throw some chairs. And you see all of these things, which is just a reason. They have an excuse to try and do these things. So that's an imbalance of priorities, where we don't know how to get together and actually prioritize what are the awlawiyat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if Iblis wasn't able to get us in any of those things, we said kufr, the person he wasn't able. Shirk, he wasn't able to. Kaba'ir, he wasn't able to. Big acts. Small acts, he wasn't able to get you in. He wasn't able to get you in or imbalancing of the priorities, which we said we need to sort out. He'll get you into time wasting. So he'll get something which is halal. Halal is completely halal for you. Is it haram for me to read Mickey Mouse magazine? It's not haram. You'll spend reading it from beginning to end, again and again and again and again and again. Oh, but I love this magazine. It's not haram. But you'll keep reading it. I like this film. I want to watch this film. It's not haram. It's an Islamic film. And you'll spend all your time watching these films. There's an Islamic lecture. I want to listen to it. And you listen to it again and again and again. He's wasting time. We need to act. We need to be proactive. So when you hear something, act upon it. SubhanAllah, Umar ibn Khattab is a character where every time we go into these things, he comes up. Umar ibn Khattab, he learned Surah Al-Baqarah in 8 years. Now these were people who were very, very eloquently spoken in Arabic. He could have memorized it in 1 month if he wanted to, or less. There were some people who memorized it on the first time they heard it. He memorized it over 8 years. And people asked, why did it take you so long to memorize it? He said, I used to take one ayah, I used to implement it, and then I used to go to the next. So now we memorize the whole Quran, but then we just waste our time with other things. So if we implement things as we go along, that's when we get the reward. So if, inshallah, if we can get to the stage of the sixth stage where we say, okay, we don't waste time. We're active people. We're proactive people. We don't waste time just hanging about in a coffee shop. Not haram. There are many things which aren't haram. And the word haram is very easy for someone to say haram, haram, haram. It's a very quick word on the tongue. Imam Malik, all the A'imma, never used to try and look for the word haram. They used to say, let your jewels, oh, it's not good, it's better not to do this. They weren't looking to cut, just make it difficult for people. But the things which are halal, sometimes when you do it in excessiveness, it becomes haram. Like somebody is eating haram, eating is halal. But when you spend your life cooking, 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 you wake up, I mean, I've sat with people, we're eating breakfast, what are we going to have for dinner today? We haven't even eaten breakfast yet, we're just eating the eggs and we're talking about having the meat. And then the night time, oh, I need to get my food for the morning. Live as the day goes along. Don't, I mean, alhamdulillah, our fridges are full these days. The fridges are completely full. And we don't realize there are people starving in the world. But we think, oh, we're never happy. There's a lot of people, oh, where's that cheese? I wanted that type of cheese, which I don't have. All of these things. So, that's what happens. You see that we get our priorities mixed up. So if Iblis wasn't able to get us on all of these things, can you just all come one step forward, please? If Iblis wasn't to get us on all of these things, he'll try and get other people from outside to mock you, to try and make you confused, and try and make people doubt why you're doing this and all of these things. So he'll make people from the outside come to you. He wasn't able to get you on all of these six steps. He'll come to the outside. So we get someone to mock, and oh, look at these people praying, bowing, they wash and they bow their heads on the floor, and all of these things you hear, plenty of mockery. I mean, you can go on the internet and find all these people making fun of Muslims. If we can get to that stage, it would be excellent, and then we'll be able to really say we're in control. The shaitan hasn't overtaken us, we are in control. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the plot of the shaitan is weak. We can overtake it, but if we just take the steps and understand how he comes to us. So if we can just say again, first one is kufr, disbelieving completely. Second one is shirk, so we associate partners with Allah, or we put things before Allah. So if I'm not able to give up that cigarette because I like the feeling of cigarettes give me, but I can't overtake it for Allah, then that you're putting something with Allah before Allah. The third one is kabair, big acts. The fourth one is sagair, which are small acts, accumulation of which can be considered a kabira. The fifth one is imbalance of priorities, which we need to sort ourselves out and make sure that we know how to be the most effective in the society. The sixth is time wasting, which we need to say, it's halal, but do I need to do it in this much? And the seventh is when you have mockery from the people of the outside. If we can sort ourselves out and inshallah overcome all of these steps, then inshallah we will be the winners. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر لي ولكم فاستغفروا إنه غفور رحيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وصلى الله على رسول الله. So just at the end of that, inshallah on the day of judgment, we will see when Iblis will say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَلَمَّ قُضِيَ الْأَمْرُ, when the matter is ended, that's it, the day of judgment has come. قَالَ الشَّيْطَانَ لَمَّ قُضِيَ الْأَمْرُ, Iblis will say, we saw in the beginning, when he said he's going to come to us in all angles, لَمَّ قُضِيَ الْأَمْرُ, إِنَّ اللَّهُ وَعَدَكُمْ وَعَدَ الْحَقِّ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised you a true promise. And Allah doesn't ever go false with his promises. Allah promised you a true promise. And I promised you, Iblis will say, and I promised you, but I lied. He will say that. فَأَخْلَفْتُكُمْ وَعَفْتُكُمْ فَأَخْلَفْتُكُمْ, I promised you and I deceived you. And he says, he didn't do anything. All the Iblis will say, I didn't do anything but invite you to what I wanted you to do. And you وَاسْتَجَبْتُمْ لِي, and you agreed to come to me. I didn't do anything but I just invited you. He didn't push us, because Iblis doesn't have the power to push us. He just said, I invited you and you accepted. And he says, فَلَا تَلُومُونِ, don't blame me, لُومُوا أَنفُسِكُمْ. That's why we said this إِصْلَاحُ النَّفْسِ, which is important, purifying yourself. لَا تَلُومُونِي وَلُومُوا أَنفُسُكُمْ, don't blame me, blame yourselves. He says, I will not be able to save you today, and you won't be able to save me. He says, أَنْ إِنِّي أَشْرَكْتُ بِمَكَفْتُ, I don't believe what you have put as idols with Allah. I don't believe all of these things. All of these things that he's caused people to fall into, I don't believe it. He says, I won't be able to save you, you won't be able to save me, and that's it. Now if we ask ourselves, have we let ourselves fall into the trap that he's trying to put us into? We need to know our enemy. Anytime you have a war, you always need to know the enemy. If you know the enemy, you can overcome them. The more you know about them, the more you can overcome them. We know, alhamdulillah, that his plots are weak, very weak, and we can overcome them very easily. Just let things go sometimes, especially with arguments. Ramadan is coming up very soon, brothers and sisters, and what shaitan does, he will try and make you fall into something which is going to cause the whole of Ramadan to be messed up. So he might cause a financial problem, or try and cause an argument with your wife, or argument with your children, or a problem, anything. He'll try and make you fall into these things. So we need to be really careful. Ramadan is just over a month away. So don't let ourselves fall into these traps. So that's what we're saying. Inshallah, Ramadan is coming up soon. And if we can prepare ourselves for these things, it will be very good. We know who our enemy is, Iblis. And we know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala maulana. And we know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with sincerity, with dua, with ikhlas, we can overcome the plots of the shaitan. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه إنه الغفور الرحيم إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينحى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم واذكروه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون وأقم الصلاة.